This is Tall Tale TV, your podcast for sci-fi and fantasy short stories. This story has multiple parts. To listen to the entire story in one place, visit talltaletv.com/series. Of Bandits and Bad Magic by Leslie Heron. Chapter 7, Plumeria. Renfried ground his teeth, biting back on the welling sour pit in his stomach. Here was yet another citizen rushing to the aid of that worthless waste of space this town called a captain. His day had started out so great, too. The morning skirmishes with the dryads had been avoided, and he had been able to enjoy a hot meal for breakfast for a change. He and his crew had ventured out into the forest to the location of a reported encampment of Twisted, the foul creatures that not even the Fey folk wished to associate with. Thankfully, it had been long abandoned, and he was able to finish his rounds of patrol duty uninterrupted, seeing as how the captain had never reported for duty this morning, or any morning for that matter. But it was apparent that muddy boots weren't the only thing the rain had brought into town this afternoon. Leave it to some disfigured loyalist to ruin his night. Renfried ran a hand through his hair, pulling the soaking locks from his face. "This doesn't concern you, citizen. Sit back down." Eric felt a tremor in his knees as he squared himself and replied, "No, leave him alone." The guard leader bore the signs of years of hard work and long days, with scars visible in the growing scruff around his sharp jawline and deep circles under his tired eyes. He may have lacked the physique of a terrifying man, but the expression on his face and the manner in which he carried himself made him all the more intimidating. Renfried took a step closer, leveling a warning finger at the interloper. "Or said, it's none of your concern. Now sit down, before I have you thrown in the stocks." His free hand moved to the pommel of his sword. Eric's gaze followed the motion. His eyes widened as he threw his hands up in a pacifying gesture.
"Whoa! Listen, there's no need for that. Just leave him alone, and..."
One of the other guards snatched the mug from the old man's table and hurled it across the room, where it smashed into the side of the meddling citizen's head. There was an explosion of clay shards and stringent alcohol.
"I said to sit the hell down, you worthless pile of rubbish!"
Eric toppled backwards over his chair and was sent sprawling on the ground. He sputtered and hacked around the caustic bite of pure alcohol in his eyes and the burn in his nostrils. He clutched at his face in agony, unable to see. The smile that broke over Renfried's face did not reach his eyes, but he couldn't fight back the chuckle it aroused from his throat.
Now, Eddie, don't go insulting the rubbish like that."
The table Eric had just been sitting at rose and flew to the side, crashing into a nearby wall, as a figure rose from beneath to protect its master. A horrible, bone-chilling intake of breath stole the warmth from the air in the room as Bob began stalking towards the guilty soldier. The hem of his cloak caught on the overturned chair and began to slide free from his body, exposing the decaying flesh beneath. He thrust his hands to the side and belted out a terrible, unearthly scream. Bits of gruel and dried leaves sprayed from his mouth as he bared his rotting teeth. The guard nearest the fire took only a moment to assess the situation before jumping in the path of the creature with his sword drawn. He pointed it down at the struggling man on the ground, tangled in a dark green traveling cloak.
"Necromancer!"
As the unholy monstrosity turned its gaze towards him, his fears were confirmed as the milky white of its eyes seethed with glowing threads of purple, dark magic. The erupting sound of swords being drawn did little to drown out the rasping moan of the undead as it spun around, deciding which one of them was the biggest threat. It turned its fury-filled gaze towards Renfried, who then threw his hands behind him and pulled out the crossbow strapped beneath his cloak.
"Stay where you are!"
Renfried cocked the weapon, pointing it down to the necromancer and keeping his eyes trained on the beast.
"Order your creature to stand down, now! You are outnumbered and we will kill you!"
Eric could only reply with an agonized whimper of pain as he clawed uselessly at his face. His eyes felt like they were melting inside his skull, and his cheeks burned like he had been out in the sun too long. For a brief moment, time stopped. Bob's mouth hung open, exhaling a rattling gasp of air. The other three guards, with swords still drawn, were glancing over to Renfried, waiting for orders. It wasn't until the old man, seated by the fire, reached up and smashed his upturned bowl over Eddie's head that time seemed to resume.
"I was drinking that, you damn fool!"
The sound of shattering pottery echoed off the still of the room like a gunshot, the catalyst that was needed to let loose the torrent of building chaos. The old man flung himself on Eddie, forcing him to the ground and began pelting him with fists. The guard nearest the fire swung his sword, the arc of it poised to connect with the necromancer's throat. But the undead threw out a withered arm to catch it, and the sword sunk into its hand like a knife carving into weak old mutton. The blade slid past its wrist, bisecting a large portion of its forearm before it snagged into one of the bones. The guard flickered his gaze to the sword, stuck inside the undead's arm, and then back up to the purple haze of fury-filled eyes. Bob let out a low, rattling rasp that sounded like a growl of a cornered animal. He flexed his arm, the flesh knitting around the sword, and continued to reach for the guard who had dared to assault his master. Renfried steadied his grip on his crossbow, advancing on the man on the ground.
"Rupert, Thomas, keep the thing busy. I'll deal with the necromancer."
He shoved his boot into Eric's side, rolling him over to expose his face. He reached down, but before he could pull back the other man's hood, a small figure he hadn't noticed leapt out from a nearby chair. Renfried spun on the spot, releasing the bolt in the direction of what he could only assume was another undead. The arrow sunk into the wall near the stairs, missing its mark. No, it couldn't be another shambling horror from the forest. This thing was too fast. Evan let out a sinister chuckle of delight as he easily dodged the shot and zipped between the guard's legs. With his dagger drawn, he slashed at the man's unarmored calf before flinging himself onto the back of his still-damp cloak. Thomas glanced from Rupert, who was struggling to free his sword from the undead's arm, to his friend on the ground, still being assaulted by the old man.
"Eddie, get up and help us, you damn fool!"
Thomas took a steadying breath and charged at the undead, driving his sword hilt deep into the monster's chest. Hindsight is a funny thing, he thought, now that he was within reach of the thing. He struggled to extricate his blade from the creature, but it was too fast. A gnarled, bony hand wrapped tight around his neck and held him in place. Emboldened by the sudden distraction his friend had given him, Rupert managed to yank free his sword and came down with another wide arc. He missed cleaving the monster's head clean off, like he had intended, and the blade sunk into the stringy flesh of its shoulder instead. Behind them, the old man was straddled across Eddie's chest, holding a chair leg in one hand and a large wooden spoon in the other. He cackled happily as he took turns walloping his captive with both.
"That'll teach you to touch another man's drink!"
Evan was halfway up Renfried's back when he saw the man draw a dagger of his own.
"I don't think so, mister!"
The tiny merc sunk his own blade into the back of the man's hand, and the weapon dropped to the ground. The guard cried out, but reacted quickly by elbowing him in the face. Evan winced, but managed to keep a firm grip on the cloak as he reeled from the blow. Dodging another swipe, he climbed up the man's back to his neck. He was likely to be less armored here, and that offered up more vulnerable targets. He peered around the guard's large ears and saw Vel still laying on the ground.
"Dude, what are you waiting for?"
He ducked around another attack.
"Get off your butt and give me a hand!"
Evan watched as Vel realized the command had been shouted at him and that someone had taken notice of his presence. Vel rolled onto his hands and knees and scrambled behind the bar before ducking in through the kitchen door. Evan blinked a few times. Maybe he had gone to get a weapon, he thought, but he had more pressing matters as he avoided an outstretched hand. The kitchen door swung open again, and Vel tumbled backwards into the bar once more. He glanced wide-eyed around the room before scrambling to hide behind several large pickle barrels. On the floor, Eric blinked tears out of his eyes, using his stolen cloak to wipe the alcohol from his face best he could. His fingers fumbled out for his glasses, shoving them back on his face before he climbed unsteadily to his feet. He looked up in time to see the guard leader launch the tiny merc across the room.
Whoa! Everyone, settle down!
Compelled to follow any order issued by his master, Bob released his grip on Thomas's throat and let out a small exhale of breath, his eyes going white once more. Renfried placed a hand on the back of his leg, touching gingerly where the dwarf had slashed him. He let out a thin hiss of pain before looking back up at the necromancer. His expression faltered when his gaze landed on a familiar profile and that shock of white hair. Every guard station had that portrait hanging inside by law. He stumbled back a step in surprise as his jaw went slack.
But how? You're supposed to be dead!
Eric moved a hand to his face and realized, too late, that the potent liquid had dissolved the sap holding together his disguise. He muttered a string of curses and looked back up. Renfried looked from the undead back to the king. Everything was clicking in place, starting to make sense. But he had been trained for this, the drills hammered into him until he could do his sworn duty in his sleep. He ground down on his resolve and drew his sword.
In the name of Lucien Fulgrave, surrender now, or I swear I will run you through.
Not again,
Eric groaned as he took a step back, raising his hands up in surrender.
I'm not the king.
Renfried swallowed his fear and made a snap decision. The Lost King was the most dangerous man in the last century, and he could not be allowed to speak lest he call down a horde of these shambling horrors. He leveled his blade and charged. But it was too late, it would seem, as the entire room shook, sending him stumbling to the side, missing his mark. His sword struck empty air before embedding into the gaps of the floorboards. He spun to see the source of the disruption, expecting said horde of undead. Instead, his eyes landed on a massive brown bear. The entire bar counter had been tipped over, crashing to the floor, and the creature was standing atop it. Its face was covered in flour, highlighting all its terrifying features as it peeled back its lips and let loose another horrendous roar. Rupert, being the closest to the woodland creature, dropped his blade and began backpedaling towards the door that led to the privies.
By the gods, is that a bear?
Barry lumbered his way over the counter, which broke completely under his considerable bulk. Broken bottles scattered as he shifted back on his hind legs and took in a deep breath. Bits of half-chewed apple and dried fish speckled the entire room in a shower of foul spittle. The sound that followed was the clattering of abandoned weapons and the retreating of boots. Renfried turned to see his only reinforcement was Eddie, who was unmoving, beaten into submission by the old man. He turned to the bear that was forcing its way past the upturned tables and shot a glance over at the king, before reluctantly forcing a retreat himself. He ducked out through the front door and disappeared into the rain. Evan watched as Barry gave chase, and he leapt onto the lumbering beast's back as he passed, grabbing fistfuls of fur to hang on.
Don't let him get away!
Eric watched the bear shove his way out through the front entrance, taking a chunk of the frame with him. He sighed as he returned his attention back to the room. The old man had slid into one of the few remaining upright tables and was pulling a different plate of food over in front of him. His victim had been left, still unconscious, on the ground. Bob was missing an arm at the shoulder and still had a sword stuck in his chest, but was otherwise unperturbed. Then he spotted his brother, cowering in a corner. Eric rushed over, dropping down to one knee to help his brother up.
Well, oh, thank goodness. I thought maybe...
In the moment of realization and panic, their eyes met, and the other man scrambled away until his back hit another pickle barrel, his face a perfect mask of unadulterated fear. He put his hands up, shielding himself from the attack he was sure was coming. Eric felt his heart sink. This wasn't his brother. Where Vel had been held together with metal plates, this man before him was whole and uninjured, save for a long scar that ran down the left side of his face, blinding the eye. But they were both green and, at the moment, filled with terror. A heavy pause lingered between them until the other man shoved himself to his feet and sprinted for the door. but the bear shoved its head through, its massive body blocking the way, and he stumbled, tripping over the hem of his cloak once more. He scrambled back to his feet and bolted for the open door that led to the privies. Catching only the tail end of Vel's cloak as it disappeared into the rain, Evan slid off Barry's back and shot his friend a confused look.
"What was all that about? Did you say something to him?"
Eric couldn't pull his attention away from the open door. Something was nagging at him to go after the man.
"No, I didn't say anything."
His voice was far away and distant as he quarreled with his decision to follow.
"What in Thiara's name happened down here?"
Atlas stood at the base of the stairs, wearing nothing but his robe. He turned, tying the belt around his waist as he took in all the destruction that filled such a small space. Tables were overturned, some broken and one currently kindling in the fire. A window had been smashed, food splattered on the walls, and even the ceiling. One lone patron was glaring at them while shoveling food slowly into his mouth, and a guard was unconscious on the ground.
"Seriously, it's only been 20 minutes. I haven't even finished my opening act."
He stepped off the stairs, navigating his way through the shattered glass that was strewn about from the upturned bar. The kitchen door creaked open, and a harried barkeep tentatively poked his head out. Atlas turned in the direction of the noise and pointed an accusatory finger at the man.
"I told you not to let him drink too much. Now look at the place."
Evan spotted Renfried's discarded dagger beneath a chair and reached over to pluck it off the ground.
"Hey, it wasn't Bailey's fault."
Atlas jabbed his finger towards the barkeep once more.
"Oh, of course not. It's his for letting a bear get drunk in his bar."
"No, I mean, Bailey didn't do this."
Evan flipped the blade in the air, testing the balance before jamming it into his spare sheath.
"A bunch of those guards came in and started beating up on the drunk guy at the bar, who turned out to be Eric's brother."
Atlas frowned.
"Who? Prince Varin?"
He tapped at his chin as he tried to recall the room when they had entered.
"Oi, I saw him there before I went up the stairs with Giselle."
Thrown back into the moment, Eric pulled his attention away from the open door.
"No, he wasn't my brother. He just looked like him."
"He looks like your brother because he is your brother. Drunk at the bar, just like I said he'd be."
Atlas put his hands on his hips, almost dislodging the belt of his robe. Evan nodded, amusement tugging at his features.
"I gotta admit, that was a pretty good trick. Pretty spot on, too. Wrong guy, but still, not bad."
Unable to squash the nagging feeling, Eric turned back to the open door.
"Whatever. We should probably go explain things. He seemed genuinely terrified of me."
Atlas let out a long, agonized groan, looking longingly back at the stairs.
"I'm not even halfway through yet, not to mention the inevitable encore."
Eric waved him off, keeping his gaze on the door.
"Maybe this Varin guy can help us out."
Atlas rolled his eyes.
"Seriously?"
He sighed when no response came and tugged free the crossbow bolt stuck in the wall beside his head.
"All right, I suppose the suspense of waiting will only make the payoff better in the end. Get over here and let me jab this in your arm."
Eric frowned.
"I am not letting you stab me again."
"And none of you are leaving."
The barkeep found his courage as he stepped out of the kitchen. He plucked up his discarded broom from beneath the rubble of his overturned counter, keeping a wary eye on the bear.
"Not until you've cleaned up this mess and pay me for the damages."
Atlas paled as he scanned the wreckage once more.
"What, for all of it? Do you think I'm made of money or something?"
The barkeep thrust out the broom.
"Then you can work it off."
Atlas relented and took a step closer.
"Fine, fine. But can it wait until after I've reunited the king here with his long-lost brother?"
He threw a hand up to the side of his face and dropped his voice to a whisper.
"They can't track him without me."
Evan scoffed.
"Excuse you? I've been tracking people down almost my entire life. I can find him no problem."
He moved to the open door and pointed at the deep set of prints in the mud.
"Following D's tracks, even in the dark, will be a piece of cake."
Atlas faltered and shot the tiny dwarf a dark look. It was becoming increasingly difficult to skip out on paying as the little runt kept poking holes in his excuses.
Yes, well,
I can't trust you to go alone. You might run.
Eric smiled mischievously as he patted the bear on his giant head.
Okay, then send the big guy with us.
Barry grunted his approval of the idea, still itching for a hunt. Atlas all but collapsed as he spun around dramatically, the look of betrayal shattering his poker face.
Not you too!
He looked back at the king.
Do you have any idea how long this is going to take?
His fingers begrudgingly wrapped around the handle of the broom the barkeep was offering him. Eric took a step towards the door, that smile breaking into a grin.
It's a good thing you're a mage, then. Just magic it clean.
Atlas leveled a heated look as he jabbed a finger at the king.
Arcanist! And magic don't work like that!
Eric chuckled and picked the zombie's arm up off the floor, handing it back to him.
Come on, Bob. Let's go.
Of Bandits and Bad Magic is book 3 of the ongoing series by Leslie Herron. Tune in every few weeks to hear the latest chapter as it's being written. If you'd like to listen to books 1 and 2, you can find links in the description.
You've got nothing better to do.
Shut it, you!
I said I'd clean. I said nothing about being quiet about it.
Oh, Crumb, what exactly happened here? The mage isn't making a lick of sense.
Don't know.
Well, I know there was a bear, and this bloke here said one of them was the king, here to extract his revenge on the prince? Is that true?
Don't know.
And there was an undead. Did it do that to poor old Eddie there?
Nope. Touched my ale. Broke my favorite mug.
Oh, Crumb. Tell me you didn't. They'll throw you in the stocks again.
Don't care.